This podcast brought to you by Ring. Save big right now on select Ring doorbells and cams and give the gifts that keep on giving. Find gifts that help handle all those deliveries.
Hey, again, leave it behind the chair with the others.
And gifts that tell you when creatures are stirring.
Biscuit, get away from the ornaments. Good girl.
Shop the Black Friday sale and save up to 40% on select devices at ring.com. That's up to 40% off right now at ring.com.
Have you ever told a friend?
Oh, I'm fine.
When you really felt
just so overwhelmed.
Or sent a text.
Can't sleep. Are you awake?
When you couldn't find the words to say.
I'm scared to be alone with my thoughts right now.
Then this is your sign to reach out to the 988 Lifeline for 24/7, free, confidential support. You don't have to hide how you feel. Text, call, or chat anytime.
Alright, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, well, we're going to talk about EMPs. Now, we've touched on them in the past, but I don't know, it seems more and more relevant every day, right? There's wars, rumors of wars, you know, that kind of thing. It gets you thinking. And turns out there is some new information out and things are, you know, there are definitely some newer threats and real things that we need to, you know, talk about and look into. But there's also different things, you know, out there that you need to be aware of. So right. I wanted to talk about it. Like one of the things, all right, you guys remember last week we talked a little bit about World War III, kind of, you know, as a more and more a real possibility.
Right.
You hear a lot of things of Putin talking about, nuclear weapons are on the table. Like, don't push the guy in the corner. It's funny. The guy, Putin was actually, he's got an advisor, and I was listening to like a Glenn Beck program or something. You know, we all know Glenn Beck's kind of over the top a little bit sometimes. And like he gets into that fear thing and whatever. Like, I think he believes it. I don't think he's trying to scare you, but he just kind of, he chases down rabbit holes and whatever. But there is some legitimacy to the stuff coming because the guy does do research. And I'll give him that. You know, he researches the hell out of everything. I enjoy Glenn Beck. I think he's fine. I'm just saying I do understand why people would have reservations or, you know, raise their eyebrow when I say that, you know. But anyway, there's this guy, Alexander Dugin. You see him there on the right with Putin here. He's a philosopher in Russia. And he's kind of been like a huge advisor to Putin for at least the last 5 years. I have no idea before that, but it's been relevant and in the public eye in the last 5 years. And he's basically like, they're filling the media and stuff in Russia with like, this is like end times and the Antichrist is coming and Putin is actually holding back the Antichrist with his efforts and trying to protect Russia. Yeah. Like full on, like, whoa, dude, this is like kind of over the top,
right?
Not the way you expect people to be talking. Anyway, Putin is saying, or this guy and Putin, it's kind of been a combination and you kind of have to infer a little bit. So that's why it gets a little gray. You know, I'm not playing clips.
Right. And they speak Russian, which
I don't speak Russian. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. This guy's name is Alexander. I don't know. It's Alexander spelled in Russian. I don't know what's happening. There's no E's. It's very confusing for me. But the bottom line is that they're saying that America's kind of like the Antichrist is coming from America or whatever. And that if they use nuclear weapons against us, I mean, hey, you're stopping the Antichrist.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, seriously.
You're the victim, right? So I'm just saying, once you get that whole religious zealot thing going on, it you end up with all kinds of more danger. Anyway, Russia and in the world community, using an EMP would be horrible and whatever, but it's not the same as, you know, burning everybody in a charred little whatever. If right. you just take away their power and let them kill each other
right.
and steal each other's food and die of disease, then that's like way more humane.
Right. Yeah. There's an estimate about how many people would die if there was a nationwide blackout. And they say it would take 4 to 6 years to repair all the systems that were
and that's so they
damaged
said
by an EMP.
They right? said if we had one a nuke detonated off over Kansas and it created an EMP, if it was like 26 miles up, and I think that one was like a hundred megaton, or I'm not even sure. But anyway, 26 miles up over Kansas, they expect it would take out the power grid and everything for 40% of the United States. And they thought it would take as long as 4 to 10 years for us to bring that grid back online. Now that's with 60% of the country having power,
right?
And being able to help. That means you still have Washington intact. You have all your FEMA support stuff, and
that's if you use one nuclear weapon. You know, the realistically you would use three: one for the East Coast, right. one for the
right.
Midwest.
You blanket the country. That's right.
Right, and you know, Russia has about 5,900 nuclear weapons. It's not like they don't have enough to take right. care of. You know,
Yeah. So, yeah. So I'm just saying Russia, it's on the table for them. That's something that they are down for, and absolutely 100% they have the capability.
Let's talk about real quick.
Yeah. Go ahead.
How that would work, right?
How an EMP works or?
Yeah. Well, how an EMP from a nuclear blast works.
Okay.
So basically the gamma rays that are created by the detonation ionized air molecules. To produce positive ions and recoil electrons called Compton electrons. This pulse to energy, which produces a powerful electromagnetic field, particularly within the vicinity of the weapon blast. So if you're not a scientist, what that means is basically the gamma rays turn the air molecules into like mini Incredible Hulks, and they just smash all your electronics.
That's pretty much it. So there's actually three phases of an EMP. So there's E1, E2, and E3. All right. Mm-hmm. And the breakdown is E1 is less than a microsecond.
Right.
Now that's like an initial pulse and it's huge. To be honest, that's going to take out most things because most surge protectors don't react that fast right. in order to stop it. But again, I mean, having a surge protector and you're like, well, my LED TV is still good, but there's no power.
There's really no electricity in it. Yeah.
Hot. It doesn't matter. All right. The second one, E2, is like a complete saturation. And that's pretty short. And then you have E3. And this is the one that kind of typically takes out everything. And the E3, and this all happens with every like EMP. It's just, you know, mm-hmm. with a high altitude nuke, right? That one will actually last a couple of hours. So the big thing, if you have an EMP, don't run to your Faraday cage and open it up and be like, yeah, we're going to break this stuff out.
Right.
You got to actually wait a couple hours, let things settle down. And because that atmosphere is charged, like Kevin said, and until that slowly dissipates, you run the risk of other things still getting damaged and destroyed. Mm-hmm. There are ways to protect to get your equipment and your vehicles against this. Like I just mentioned, a Faraday cage. And there's something called EMP Shield that's pretty awesome. And I actually have a coupon code for you guys. I'm just saying. And if you've been around with the channel and listening to the podcast for a while, you might guess what that code is going to be. But, anyway, the things like that can actually protect your stuff and your vehicles and actually even your house. We'll get into that a little bit later on what we can do to protect stuff. I really kind of wanted to, you know, explain how real of a threat it is, because people, you don't assume, you know, bad things. It's one of those, it's never happened before.
Right.
So, you know, it's not realistic, but so many countries have EMPs as a major part of their defensive and, you know, or offensive weapons. Yeah. Sorry, words are hard. Program. So we just talked about Russia. Let's talk about China. China has EM or HEMP simulators and defensive and offensive programs that are certainly more robust than any in the United States. China's military doctrine regards nuclear HEMP attacks, that's high altitude EMP attack, as an extension of information and cyber warfare, deserving the highest priority as the most likely kind of future warfare. Now, most of the stuff I'm talking about here is from a report called the China EMP Threat, and it's put in out by the EMP Task Force on National and Homeland Security. This one is from Dr. Peter Vincent Pry in June 2021. Now, there's a couple of concerning quotes, and I hate reading quotes in the podcast because I know it can get boring, but some of this is like so shocking that you're just like, it's worth a read. All right. So the foremost People's Liberation Army textbook on information warfare, Shen Wei Gong's World War, the Third World War, Total Information Warfare, explicitly calls upon China to be prepared to exploit HEMP offensively and defend against it. Here's like, there was a bunch more nonsense, but as soon as its computer networks come under attack and are destroyed, a country will slip into a state of paralysis and the lives of its people will grind to a halt. Therefore, China should focus on measures and countermeasures of computer viruses, EMPs, to quickly achieve breakthroughs in those technologies in order to equip China without delay with equivalent deterrence that will enable us to stand up to the military powers in the information age and neutralize and check the deference of Western powers, including the United States. So my point is,
the United States,
they're really thinking about, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of hate and anger. You know, I get irritated at people sometimes. Mm-hmm. They get irritated at whole countries. I don't even get pissed at countries usually. Like, that's not even my level of rage. So these guys have some rage.
Mm-hmm.
We did an episode a while back, and we were talking about how much China, you know, has that propaganda kind of going all the time about, you know, how they're going to destroy us. And it doesn't help that we got, like, Biden running around. China's, what is it? Chi, whatever the guy's name, X, yeah,
Xi Jinping. Xi Jinping.
Right, he's like, Xi's you can say dictator. Winnie the Pooh
for Winnie short. The Pooh?
All right. Yeah.
If his name is that confusing,
whole thing gets me going with that. Yeah, saw that South Park with Mickey
I didn't
Mouse.
See that. I heard people talking about it.
Yeah, it was bad. But Pooh and Piglet are in the prison. It's not good. Now, not only that, I would expand. Actually, it's funny. A lot of the information I got, if you guys go on EMP Shield's website, like if you're, you know, this is something you're really into and you want like hard facts and stuff like that. If you go to EMP Shield's website, they have a section called Library.
Mm-hmm.
And under the EMP Library, they have all these reports on North Korea, China, anything the U.S. government's, you know, officially published on EMPs, they're all accessible and downloadable right there. And they also have, you know, the testing and the things they've done to kind of prove and disprove. But, I mean, countries have done to whether this stuff's going to work and, you know, what kind of threat it is. Mm-hmm. But basically in like 62, I think, we did the atomic bomb testing, and that's when we kind of discovered the whole EMP stuff.
Right. It wasn't something that they predicted or knew about before they detonated it.
They had theories, but yeah, it's one of those you kind of tell you test it, it's whatever. And yeah, no, they definitely took out more stuff, but they did have some of the cameras and stuff shielded and whatever in, you know, protected for some kind of, but yeah, it went out further than they thought. There were actually some issues in Hawaii and some other stuff.
Yeah, they did detonate one high altitude over an island in the South Pacific.
Yes.
And 800 miles away in Hawaii, they had some issues. Telephones went down, power outages in certain places, and blew a lot of fuses and things like that.
Now, mind you, yeah, this was actually Operation Fishbowl. And it was in 1962. And you're going to like, dude, they called it, the weapon was called Starfish Prime. So, you know, you're classy, right? I don't know. I mean, I just, to me, that sounds like, oh, you know, Starfish Prime. That's, you know, I think you add Prime to anything and you just up the level, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds right.
So, yeah, it was actually 1,500 miles away in Hawaii. 300 street lights, telephone relay links, communication between the islands was all messed up. And this is in 62. Now, think about technology in 1962 and how much more sensitive it is than now. Because, well, like now, you know, now if you don't have the static, you know, I know when we work with circuit boards and stuff, I use the wrist strap that grounds you and that kind of thing, you know, to protect. Right. You know, electrostatic discharge, that kind of thing. You know, it makes a difference. Then Russia had one called Project K. And it was Project K. And in Test 184, not that you guys care, but if you wanted to look this stuff up, they did a 300 kiloton bomb. And it, for 1,000 miles, it shut down, you know, the power cables. 1,000 miles, that's pretty good, right?
Right.
That's significant. We had one later called, because again, we stuck with that prime thing. We had one called Triple Prime. Mm-hmm. And when we did that, we realized that kind of around that, and that one was more impressive. And what we realized is couple of kiloton is more effective than a megaton bomb.
Right.
And that really actually ended up having more transmission. So that's something to think about. Let me think. All right. So remember you're saying, well, how much is a power, you know, failure going to hurt me? You know, how much do I care? Well, remember in 2003, the Northeast blackout, right? Now that was 10 million people. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, our power grid, it's great, right? So believe it or not, that was a tree in Ohio just, you know, fell on a power line and 10 million people lost power. It was, for most of them, it was about 4 days. It was,
yeah, it was an extended period of time. It was
significant. And you're talking about like New York City and stuff. I mean, that's a big deal. Just, you know, it's one thing when you're at your farmhouse in the country and you have candles and you're like, yeah, I can live without power. I'll use the grill.
Yeah. Imagine that you were the type of asshole that lived in New York City. Right. And
nobody wants to be that
power's
guy.
Out. There's no water. There's no sewer. That's actually functioning. You decide it's time to get out of the city. The heat's off, the air conditioner, whatever time of year it is. You decide it's time to get out of the city and every traffic light in the entire city isn't working.
So it was summer and it was hot and I was out fixing air conditioners and it was bad. And the reason I know this, because I was about 45, maybe 50 miles from my house and I was in the middle of, we'll call a city. It was like Wappingers Falls, right? Mm-hmm. But I had to come down for you, Kevin. It was Route 9. And holy crap, every single street light is not working.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just I think it took like 6 hours to get home.
Yeah.
And that's not anywhere near you know, right. a real city like New York City or
right,
or
right. I remember at that point, a lot of people were walking to New Jersey, walking across the bridges that, you know,
to get out
because
of that
there's channel. No way their car, yeah. their, you know, mass transport, all that stuff was shut down. And there's no way you're getting your car out of that gridlock, you know? It's just that city is very reliant on electricity. And it's very hard to live there if you're not ready for it and you don't have a good way of transportation to get away from those people.
Right. Now, what are some of the things that you're going to lose with an EMP? So first off, electric cars, it's a no-go.
Yeah.
Gone, right?
Most regular cars are going to have enough check engine light issues that you're going to be lucky if you can start it. Now, some of them are going to shut down, and then you'll be able to turn them back on and be all right.
That is rumored.
Some of them, not so much.
And the year keeps changing that I hear. I've heard vehicles before 1980 year golden. Mm-hmm. I've heard as far as 86. Everybody's got a different theory on that. Again, that kind of goes back to the whole EMP shield thing.
Right.
We'll you can get into that a little bit later and how you can protect your modern vehicle and your modern house for that matter. Right. Water, sewer. All those pump stations. Kevin, are there circuit boards in water and sewer plants?
Yeah, you're screwed.
Okay. You're screwed. What about myself?
Most people that are on municipal water will have water for a short period of time afterwards because most of that water is pumped up into towers or, you know, some sort of gravity feed situation.
Right.
So slowly over the day, a day or two, your water is going to have less and less pressure until it's just dribbling out.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good. So you're recommending we get the water, Bob.
I'm recommending that if something like that happens, you fill up every container you possibly can. Water bottle.
Fill the
great.
Washing machine.
Yeah, bathtub, there you go. That's a smart idea.
Buckets. And don't think of it like you're being greedy. Think of it like you're taking care of your family. That's what I would say. It's your job to take care of your family. So Department of Energy says if we had an EMP over the United States, we should expect 50 to 80% still down after 5 years of whatever gets damaged. That's Department of Energy. So what do you do, right? We're losing all kinds of, you know, transformers, power grid. What happens
computers,
is
satellites,
all your power lines,
radios. Radios are out.
All your power lines are giant antennas, and they basically carry it and destroy everything, transformers, all that, right? So what do you do? One, you want to – well, let's talk about EMP Shield. That's something right now. So they offer – and I was so skeptical of this. I, for a long time, was like – you know, I don't even know that could work. And when you offer, they're like, oh, well, we have this warranty on it. And I'm like, yeah, but what good does a warranty do for me? And I'm just saying this because I know you're all ass thinking the same thing, right?
I mean,
this is logical. You're like, well, how does a warranty help me when the world just ended?
Mm-hmm. Well,
in 5 years, when the power comes back on, I'm going to call, hey, you know, I'm going to need that $300 back. And
right.
Yeah, that's not really
not practical. Really helpful.
It does actually protect against like lightning strikes and things like that, so the warranty actually is relevant and stuff just working, but I was skeptical and I was like, well, with an EMP, you know, that's something that, you know, maybe would be an issue. So anyway, they actually offer whole house and whole vehicle protection. Now it's not cheap. I think it ends up being about $389 for like the house or $389 for the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, if I was on the regular power grid, I don't know that I would worry about my house that much because when the grid goes down,
yeah, it doesn't have any.
I don't really need any my TV to work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if there's no power coming to your house, then all your stuff now, in your house working isn't really like.
Now, if I'm willing, because I have money and I don't, whatever, if I have a lot of nice stuff in my house, I have a $2,000 TV or whatever, and I was worried about a lightning strike or the power lines ripping off. You know, have you ever seen when the neutral wire rips off a house? Dude, it fries everything. Mm-hmm. Your washer, your dryer, anything with a circuit board, just done. And, you know, homeowner's insurance kind of handles that, but it still sucks. And nobody needs any of that. Right. I will say.
And there's never a situation where your shit gets damaged and it's insured and you come out on top.
Right.
Always ends up costing.
And when have you been in like a car accident? You're like, woohoo, I won. That never happens, right? So anyway, this would actually protect against that. And for $380, I got to say, if I have nice stuff, that's probably a good investment for even my regular house. But the bottom line, for your vehicle, they actually did extensive testing. Now, I was like, well, what does that mean? You know, that it's going to meet government standards. Well, one, government standards require that you protect against 50,000 volts.
Right.
These actually were tested at up to 90,000 is what I read. It said they were tested at 90,000. And I know they say they're designed for over 100,000. But they just, the testing, that's where they went. I don't know. But either way, that's well beyond what government standards are for military vehicles. Mm-hmm. So it's going to help you out. And the thing is, nobody's really talking about more than 100,000 volt, you know, EMP. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's something you want to look into. But the bottom line is, it is been tested. And they set up these awesome freaking, they use a capacitor. And I got a picture if you're watching it on the video. But they run these transmission lines. Mm-hmm. And they basically create the surge and they hold it there and it saturates the vehicle, the equipment, they put electronics in there and see if it's actually going to protect it. And this has been done. Like I watched the videos and I'm like, all right, you know, like they actually checked it out.
It actually worked.
And it's really going to work. That to me is worth something. And I got to say, like, I have old vehicles, and when I bought it or when I made the decision that I was going to buy an old truck and whatever, EMP was something very relevant in my mind.
Right.
I'm like, this is something I want to, you know, protect my family against. And so I was down vehicles. Look, I like the, we're working on them. I like whatever. There were other influencing factors, but it was a consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my point is, for $350 to make your nice modern vehicle not become a freaking paperweight,
mm-hmm.
that's pretty awesome. Actually, it's right. I think they're $389 is the answer, but mm-hmm. if you use code badass, that's the code badass. It's gonna save you $50, and so that brings you down to like $349 or something in that neighborhood, $339. I don't know. It's gonna save you $50, whatever it is, and bottom line, you're going to be kicking ass because you're going to have your nice, cool vehicle. Your radio is going to work. There might not be anybody transmitting out there.
Yeah. If you have an EMP shield and an EMP hits,
tell you what, your
men are going to want to be you and women are going to want to be with you.
Exactly. You're going to be loading up the bus, whatever you got. EMP shield, you got it in there. They actually have a micro one that's like tiny. You can put on your motorcycle, your anything now.
Yeah.
They're working on it. But the bottom line is, it sounds like a pretty freaking great deal is what I'm getting at. So here's the cool thing. If you do the micro, they actually have it with the wire cable. Cause that was the thing. I was like, well, which vehicle? I'm like, to be honest, I'd want it in my cool truck, but I end up taking the good gas mileage little car for the road trips.
Mm-hmm.
And I know if I'm on a road trip, I don't want to be stuck with a vehicle that dies, you know, in the middle. And I was like, what do I do? Cause I mean, to be honest, $389 is a lot of friggin' money. And I don't, you know, it's not a lot compared to a car, but it's still significant, right? That's going to affect your budget. Right. So I looked at that. And I was like, yeah, I don't really know that I could swing too. Well, if you buy the micro one, this new one they got, they actually, it has a plug on it and you can wire it up in both vehicles. And when you go to take the one on the road trip, you just swap it over and plug it in and you're good in the second vehicle. Whereas you can leave it in your primary vehicle, you know, and then when you do something special, you can protect the other. Now, obviously, it's got to be in there when the EMP hits.
Right.
But, you know, hey, that's still one more level of protection. Now, they do the same thing for your whole house. And basically, the way it's going to work is anything that's plugged in is going to be protected. And that's the same thing in your vehicle. Anything that's connected to the battery is going to be protected.
Right.
And that's pretty awesome. And I, like I said, I'm actually an electrician. I looked into it. I dug in and I read, and I, like I said, I was really reluctant for a long time. This company's been out a while and I just was like, I don't know that I can really get behind that, but it really does, you know, make the difference and will protect your family. So I'm just saying, Code Badass, you guys might want to check it out. But what else can you do? So you could do a Faraday cage, right?
Right. Well, let's talk real quick about how this might go down. Because realistically, if you're going to launch nuclear weapons at another country, but not like, you know, intend to detonate it at a high altitude, nobody's going to know that when the missile's on its way. You know what I mean? You're not going to want to launch nuclear weapons at another country and be like, nah, psych, it was just to get the power, you know?
Yeah, so, right.
So if you're going to bomb somebody with a nuke, you might as well bomb them. You know, you're already crossing the line of using weapons of mass destruction. You might as well, you know, so realistically, you wouldn't launch a nuke from, you know, your country to another country to set it off. What you might want to do is, like, say, float it over a country in a high altitude balloon.
What?
You know,
would you test something like that before you did it, Kevin?
Maybe you want to give it a couple of test runs, see how many times you can do it before you get caught.
If they're really paying attention, see if people even respond. Like, what would they even do? Would they
let it go all the way across the entire country before they did anything about it? Maybe.
That might be something people, I don't imagine people would ever react like that though. I'd imagine if you flew a balloon over the United States, we'd like shoot it down
right?
As soon as you hit our waters, right? We'd be like, oh, 25 miles out, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. You're going down.
Take it out. No.
No.
Well, all right. So
now, well, hang on. There's one more. Well, yeah, this kind of, if you're going to possibilities, I might be beating you to the punch here. North Korea got Russia alerted us. You're going to like this. Russia alerted us that North Korea may have gotten leaked information from Russia on how to put an EMP inside a satellite to be able to launch it from satellites.
Right.
I don't know how they got it. It just leaked out. They had it. Yeah. They had it in a computer, and the computer was leaking information.
It was just dripping out of there.
Leaked out.
Somehow.
So anyway, so they said right now over Japan, over the Philippines, over anywhere kind of around North Korea, there is the real possibility that there are satellites that are capable of deploying EMP weapons right now. Now, here's the thing.
Right.
They're capable of that. Now, mind you, this information was leaked from Russia. So it's possible that Russia has this information as well. And it's possible that Russia may actually have satellites over the United States right now.
Yep.
Now we're talking about no missile flying in, no anything to alert you, just, oh, there's a satellite. Did it just get wider? Did something happen? And then, oh, fuck, that just happened. And
you're fucked. Yeah.
What was your number two?
Yeah. So let's talk about a little bit about that sort of stuff, because, you know, a nuke, the primary reason for using a nuke is the massive destructive power, right? And the EMP is just a side effect. You can make direct EMP weapons that don't cause an explosion, right? So you could wipe out the electrical, and an EMP has no effect on living things, right? It's not going to kill people. So if you detonate an EMP or, you know, an EMP weapon, you know, it's an act of war, but it's not a weapon of mass destruction. You didn't kill anybody. You just shut the power off. You know what I mean? So it doesn't classify. It's not like it prompts a nuclear response. You know, we're not talking about Armageddon. That's just, you know, the opening salvo of a war. So the United States has been working on electromagnetic weapons, and it's highly classified. They don't, you know, you don't, it's not even in the military's purview. It's not under the defense. It's under the energy department. So, you know, if you really want to control the world, the most powerful person in the country after the president is the head of the head of the power departments, right? So there's a high-powered microwave advanced missile project. They call it CHAMP, which doesn't really, those letters don't really match up, but I don't know what's going on. A lot of those things seem a little suspect. The arrow and the projects like that, they never really seem to match up. But these systems are so advanced that we don't know what they can do and what they are capable and what they're planning on. And the idea of putting an EMP in a satellite is a great idea, but there's a lot of other direct weapons that they can use to fire at, you know, at things like ships.
Right. There was a lot of testing a lot of research that it's definitely a possibility that a country like Iran could have a handheld weapon that they could launch off a barge off, the East Coast or whatever, mm-hmm. and pretty much create an EMP and you know, cause enough problems. It's definitely always a threat. And, you know, to be honest, I know you guys, like, the assumption in America is that our borders are really secure, right?
Yeah, right, right. No, nobody's ever been able to.
So there's no chance that somebody would be able to bring a weapon across our border because, like, we
hypothetically
stop everybody and check them out. Hey, you're not.
Hypothetically, they talk about suitcase nukes, but there's suitcase size EMP weapons that are massive. Not, you know, we're not talking about like, you know, shooting it at your truck as you're driving down the road and turning it off. We're talking about massive power outages from a small unit. And suitcase, maybe it weighs 800 pounds. It's not something you're carrying around with you, but it's something you can fit in the trunk of a car.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of trucks with launchers in the bed and things like that. Truck designs. I mean, what I'm saying, there's a lot of designs and things that people put together that are out there that you can see. I'm not saying there's a lot of trucks driving down the road with gun missile launchers in the back.
Right.
That's not what I was inferring, but go.
Now, there's also a 12% chance that we're going to get a massive solar flare in the next 10 years. So right now we're entering a high activity phase of the sun. It goes in and out, you know, like 12-year cycle, you know, 24-year cycle where it goes in and out, you know, more and more likely and less likely. And we're entering, you know, more and more likely phase of this. And there's a high chance that this could just happen naturally. You know, we're not talking about, you know, China attacking us. How would we know?
Right. But what's worse is it's going to take out half of the world. Mm. Right. So the world's good. You know, you probably don't know this, but the world actually turns in a circle.
Right.
And it turns out whatever side is facing the sun, that guy gets screwed.
Right.
The right. other guy's so, like, oh, I didn't even notice anything. That's
if
weird.
That happens over the United States, maybe China will come over and help us out. Maybe they'll send their military we'll over aid, there over right? here to help us and make sure everybody gets food. You know, it's the communist way. And well, next thing you know, the power's out and there's a Chinese military all up and down.
Huh? Is if it happens on the other side of the world, we will send aid.
We will send aid, yeah.
And it'll cost us trillions of dollars, and we'll rebuild everybody, and oh, don't worry about it. But if it happens to us, they're going to be like, five.
Yeah, that sucks, guys. Sorry. Sorry that happened to you.
We'll send some troops over. I don't know what they're going to do. They might clear the land. But you know what? I'll tell you what. It's going to take us a little while to get our response together, and we'll see if you guys don't kind of just die off first.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Take care of see, that shit.
We just kind of want to see what happens while we get our supplies ready. Because, you know, it's kind of one of those, like, I hate to say it, in the prepper world, you always kind of think about, you know, if somebody, like, if somebody can't get food or prepare, take care of their own life, giving them money or food right now isn't going to help them if they're just going to die tomorrow. Right. Like, you bought them a day. But you didn't buy, you know, that teach a man to fish and he eats for a lifetime. You give him a fish. If I give you clean water and food now, but I don't sustain it and I don't give you a way to get back to creating your own food and water, then you're kind of just screwed, you know?
Right. You know, the interesting thing is that the United States is fully capable of feeding its entire population easily, the amount of food we produce.
Right.
The problem is that the food isn't where the people are.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not going to be at the grocery store if trucks aren't driving. You know, it's not going to be at your farmer's market if their tractors aren't moving.
Right.
You know, if you live in New York City, if you live in Baltimore, if you live in Jackson, Florida, if you live in San Diego, that food isn't there. It's not at your house. It's not within driving distance. It's not like you can go, you know, go up the street and pick corn from, Farmer John and, pay him in the change that you have in your change drawer because you can't access your bank account. It's not going to be so easy. If you don't have food, if you don't have something to trade for food, you're going to be up Schitt's Creek.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a thing that's really what it comes down to with preppers. I mean, and that's things. So what can you do? You can coordinate with your neighbors on how you'd respond to a disaster, right? You can talk about each other and to each other about being prepared about, you know, hey, do you have kind of stuff? And hey, how might you do it? Hey, who has a well? Who has, you know, all right, we all live in the city and we're all on municipal water and nobody has an old well that's been around for a while or whatever. So does everybody have a water bob? Does everybody have a way to filter water in the creek or whatever? Does anybody know how to collect water or get rainwater, you know, somehow? I'm sure that's illegal in most places, but, you know, who knows? Food stores. Do you and your neighbors have food stored up, right? Do you have a garden? Do you have a way to produce more? Maybe it's chickens. Maybe it's rabbits. Maybe you have something going on there. Flashlights, backup optics. You know, a lot of us have more advanced optics on our weapons that, you know, do you have some more? I actually have, I think, like 4 red dots that I put in a Faraday cage. They were all like cheap, like $30 each, but right. I found one that actually worked well. And I was like, you know, I could buy a bunch of these and just stockpile them. And just in case I have to break something out, you know, for later. Do you have ways for like off-grid cooking, hand tools? Do you have a tractor? Is your tractor maybe protected? Is it in a metal barn? I mean, that might be enough to deflect things. But there's also a good chance that it's not. I think it really matters was the barn door open? You know, I don't know. I know that a direct strike, like if you're in Kansas and they deploy a weapon over you,
yeah,
that tractor probably isn't going to work even in the barn.
Yeah.
Now, unless you had the whole EMP shield thing going.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's just something. I'm just putting that out there. Kevin, any more thoughts on this? I know we wanted to, in the future here, maybe coming up, we might talk about a Faraday cage. I know time's always ticking. Right. Kevin's got to get kids to work and everything else.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff always happening, but we can follow up with a second episode for next week, talking about how to protect yourself and how to defend what you have from a potential EMP strike.
Right. I think that would be excellent. 99% sure we're going to have the YouTube live next week, same as always. My employer does tend to change when work happens at the last minute and get crazy. Mm-hmm. So anything comes up, check the Facebook group or the page, and I will try and put that out there. So I will try my best to be here, but I try not to, you know, waste your morning if you guys are planning, you know, on checking it out. And I don't want to disappoint you. So watch, you know, the Facebook group. I will post something if something comes up, but we do plan to be there this week. And questions, concerns, things you guys want to hear about, maybe more EMP ideas. We'd love to see them in the comments. But if you have show ideas, email us at preppingbadass@gmail.com. Otherwise, I would say stay safe, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.